My name is Doug, and I'm from Belfast. And my question is for Barbara. And from what I understand, you're saying is that almost any ship in the world can make it into Mack Point as long as it's high tide. Is that correct?
No.
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 But the new ships that were going to come carrying propane, they could make it in without dredging if it was high tide.
That ship that I was mentioned specifically was the one that, I'm not talking in general, I'm talking specifically of that Coast Guard report that was quoted to me last time, or actually I think was quoted at the last meeting, I'm quoting from that particular report, and I'll be happy to give you that report.
Well, I'm interested in the difference between high tide and low tide. It seems to me that the entire reason for the project is that some ships can't make it into Mack Point at low tide. Is that correct?
That is correct. So, just to speak to this briefly, I spent 6 years as a navigation officer, so I think it would be helpful if you understood why we're presently not competitive. Ships carrying freight, petroleum, containers, wind turbines, you name it, in the 1970s, their drafts started to go below 36 feet. So we'd like to bring the depth of this channel to the standards that were surpassed in 1970 for the ships that are available on the marketplace today. So it really has nothing to do with Panama Canal. It has to do with the availability of ships in the charter market globally that are carrying any type of freight whatsoever, including wind turbines.
But there's a difference between high tide and low tide.
But let me explain that. As a navigation officer, let me explain that in terms of competitiveness of a port. If you have a port that can only accept, say, 10% or 20% of the world's ships during low tide, and the rest have to wait for a high tide,
right?
Then you're 1 foot out the door in terms of being
out of business. But you act like high tide is some unusual event that only occurs twice a day. What's the big deal?
And I'm going to answer that. I'm answering that. The reality is, when ships are calling on a port, there's crewing costs, there's all sorts of things. When they're trying to plan their port call,
right,
if they have to wait for anything, including wait for space alongside a pier or wait for high tide, you run up demurrage costs, you run up penalties.
How much could those costs be? I mean, if you know you're going to be
enough to make it non-competitive
at noon, then maybe you just slow down a little. It's like when I come to a stop sign, I don't slam on the brakes 2 feet from the stop sign. I plan so I can stop right at the stop sign.
I'd be happy to speak with you afterward regarding the non-competitive nature of that and some facts on that.
Sir, I thank you for that.
Yeah, but it's all economics based on just the difference between low tide and high tide. I don't get it. It seems totally unnecessary to me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You can read our report, too, that addresses that benefits analysis. We have a very detailed benefits analysis on our shit site.
Next comment, please.
My name is Tara Hollander. I'm from Stockton Springs.
I have one more quick comment. I'm Brian Downey. I'm with the Pilot Commission. And just on that last gentleman's note, there are a couple other things that you might want to consider with the dredging project, and it hasn't really been discussed too much, and there isn't the slide up, but if you look at the slides, and by the way, I'm just representing navigational safety in general. That's my role in the Pilot Commission. I help manage the safety programs for the pilots. The dredging that's going to occur is actually going to widen portions of the channel, the entrance of the channel, and then also it's going to create a maneuvering area. These are really critical to safe navigation. It's going to help the pilots bring the ships in and take them out. So if you can imagine, putting a key in a lock, right? So it's pretty easy when you're just holding the key in your hand. But if you take the key and put it, like unbend a coat hanger, say, and put the key at the end of the coat hanger, and then you're going to try to put the key in the door that way, it becomes very, very difficult. That's, in a sense, a little bit of what the pilots are doing. They're really shoehorning the ship into a very tight space. by dredging, it will allow them more maneuverability and more space to operate. The reason that's important is because if the ship runs aground, some ships, even with double hull tankers, some ships have fuel tanks that are single hull. So, I mean, it does create a certain risk there. So what I would say is, you know, we have some of the most talented pilots in the world, but providing, you know, this dredging project gives them more tools in their toolbox to continue to deliver these ships safely to our ports.
Okay, now we next comment, please.
Thank you for having this meeting here at Belfast. I have a question related to locating the February 24th public informational meeting in Bangor and whether this project is regional or local in nature. DOT Commissioner David Bernhard wrote in a letter dated February 24th to several state senators and representatives that Maine DOT and Maine Port Authority worked, quote, to establish a meeting location that would accommodate all entities that would potentially be impacted by the proposed maintenance dredging project. And, quote, the port of Searsport is a vital economic connection between central and northern Maine and the global economy. It seems clear in this wording that the commissioner is stating the port of Searsport and the proposed dredging in Searsport has regional impacts. In Army Corps, Barbara Boomer's email reply to me dated February 19th regarding the location of the meeting, she said, the Bangor location is centrally located and the port at Searsport is a regional resource, end quote. In the feasibility draft plan, the Army Corps stated this project proposal is site-specific and, quote, local in scale to its context for determining its status as FONSI, a finding of no significant impact. Does the Army Corps believe that the scope of this project indeed is regional, going to have a regional impact, including areas such as central and northern Maine, or is it site-specific and purely local? Can you please clarify?
Start anyways.